Great to have you with us here on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here. You know, we're going to be talking about air travel today. Many families getting ready for holiday vacations, and that means crowded airports. And I'm really happy to have back Rick Cini. He is CEO and co-founder of FareCompare.com, and he comes by pretty often to answer your travel questions, especially air travel questions. Today, he has some tips to help first-time flyers have a stress-free air travel experience. Are you planning to travel over the holidays? What questions do you have for Rick? Give a call at 1-800-642-1234. Email us at ideas@wpr.org or post on our Facebook page. Rick Cini, welcome back.
Hey, good morning, Larry. I apologize for my voice today, so hopefully I'll be able to make it all the way through the show here.
Well, do you remember your first flight? I remember mine.
To be honest, I think my first flight was a Greyhound bus. So it's been a while, yeah. I remember taking a Greyhound to visit Grandpa once by myself.
I tell you what, the first time I flew, I think I was 19. You know, my daughter Emily, I think the first time she flew, she was a year and a half. So she's a seasoned traveler. But when at my age, I was scared. I needed some advice.
Yeah, I have over 3 million miles on American Airlines. So I want to forget about some of those.
Well, what advice do you have for first time flyers?
Well, a couple different things. This is going to be an especially interesting season because we do have some new rules related to advanced screenings that have been put in place. So essentially, it all boils down to, if you haven't flown in a while, you need to pull out your iPad. If you have an iPad, essentially it's treated like a laptop, whereas before it hadn't been. So be sure and do that. It may take a little extra time at the airport this particular year. Here's what I like to do. And if you're not a computer expert, maybe you can get one of the cousins or uncles or something to set it up. But the night before, go ahead and set up flight status alerts. Usually that can be through text message or it can be done through email. That way you're getting good quality information. Almost all the airlines support it, and there's companies like FlightAware and FlightStats that do that as well. You can do that online for free. It's all a free service, so it's good to get that status message. So set that up the night before. I also like to look at the weather map the night before and the morning of when I'm getting up to fly, just to see if there's any issues, especially in places like Chicago, New York, where things could be trickling down, especially if my flight's around lunchtime or noon. When you get to the airport, if you have, for the first time, kids that are there, be sure and prepare them that they will be going through. In this case, always pick the metal detector. If you have kids, you could always select not to go through the body scanner. Some kids, like boys, maybe think it's kind of cool.
Yeah.
Sort of spaceship oriented, but generally you can opt out of that and you can go through the metal detector, but you just have to tell the agent while you're there. Once you're inside security, it's pretty much the same as you might expect.
Yeah, it's going to take a while. How early do you recommend people arrive at the airport?
Yeah, if it's an international flight, a few hours is definitely what you probably need to do. That means you're probably checking a bag. Most people do check bags when they fly internationally. It takes some extra time. Remember, the parking lots may be over full at your particular airport that time frame, so you may have a little extra time to park. So I'd say at least pad it by about 10 to 20% over what you would normally do. Domestic, I think, again, you're probably okay at 90 minutes or so with a little extra padding. It's going to be a long day of traveling. We did a little historical research, and over the last 5 years, 15 to 20% of flights are delayed during the holiday season. So one in five of us is going to experience some issues.
Man, someone asked me, is it true you get a better seat if you check yourself in early online?
You can. So at the 24-hour mark, the airlines actually release all the other seats. So if you didn't want to pay for actually having an aisle or a window ahead of time, and you're waiting for that right at the 24-hour mark. I know there's a huge rush, for example, to Southwest Airlines at the 24-hour mark to get the right boarding number in the A, B, or C groupings. And the same thing happens with the legacy airlines. They start releasing some of those seats that would have been paid for at the 24-hour. So you absolutely can do that. You also have the option, too, if you're flying with kids, you can ask them to put you all together with some new rules related to the Department of Transportation that allow you to have that happen in a much easier way. So if you have, if you're sort of separated from the rest of your family, especially kids under 12, then you'll be able to do that as well.
I haven't checked a bag in a long time. I just use carry-ons, and I think there are some real advantages to that.
I haven't checked a bag in a long time except for my golf bag. And
yeah.
The last two, I checked my golf bag. It's been I've had at least two clubs broken. So.
Oh, no.
You know, it's not – just generally checking a bag, just – if you can get it in the overhead compartment, it's probably a good thing to do. You do have to be in the first sort of half of the boarding group. You may end up having to gate check your bag, but it won't cost you $25 in that case. There's also several ways to get around bag fees. You have elite status. You have a bunch of branded credit cards that waive those fees. And many of those branded credit cards also let you get to cut in line as well. So it might be worth that $60 a year. Usually the first year's free on those branded credit cards if you fly more than a couple times a year.
Yeah. Rick Sini, our guest today of faircompare.com. You guys are probably getting a lot of traffic to your site these days.
You know, it's actually, you'd be surprised, actually, the biggest month we have is January. That's when people start to shop. They're actually consuming travel mostly in December, so it's a little bit slower than you might think. I would also mention to folks out there, if you don't have PreCheck or Global Entry, you need to check out those programs. It's a little late in the game right now to get an appointment to do that, but it's essentially $80 for 5 years or $100 for 5 years. Global Entry lets you get back into the country through customs much faster. I would definitely check into those if you fly more than a couple times a year.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we have callers online with questions, so let's take some calls. Peg in Madison has a question for you. Let's go there. Hi, Peg.
Hi there. I plan to fly from Minneapolis to Frankfurt, Germany in 2018, leaving September 5th and returning the 23rd. I'm finding flights in the $700 to $850 range. It seems early to buy a ticket for this trip, but the prices look pretty good. What do you think?
Yeah, so you're perfect. So a couple things I would note about traveling to Europe. There is a big seasonal price drop at the end of August, so your September 5th date is getting the benefit of that. People do buy their tickets a bit longer in advance for that. You also have a little cheaper flights on midweek, Monday through Thursday, than you do on the weekend. Leaving Friday, Saturday, for example, is an extra $40 round trip. $700 from Minneapolis to Frankfurt is a pretty good deal. I really don't know what's going to happen with fuel prices over the next 6 or 7 months. That tends to dictate a lot. There has been some serious drops in the price to Europe, partially the strong dollar. There's also been some low-cost carriers like Icelandair, WOW, Norwegian that have been flying those routes, which also pushed the price down as well. I would be perfectly happy for you to, if you went ahead and bought that ticket in that mid $700 range. Let's put it this way. I don't expect it to go down to $650. So, you know, even if it went down to $690 or $710 or something like that, you probably still made a really good deal.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
All right. Thanks a lot for calling, Peg. You might mention your alerts and so forth for folks like Peg and others who are...
Sure, yeah. You just come to faircompare.com. By the way, we're a bunch of computer science geeks. We have hundreds of computers processing airfare and analyzing airfare and trying to help you find the best times to fly and which days to go and how to save some money on your next flight. And if you just go in, punch in where you want to go, a little box will pop up asking you if you want to set up alerts, and then we'll start sending you alerts when the prices drop.
Yeah, I went online. I found I was thinking about flying from Atlanta, driving to Atlanta, but then flying back on Christmas Eve, and it was $90 I thought that was a really cheap flight from Atlanta to Madison.
Yeah, one-way flight for $90 at that time frame. So essentially, airlines, you know, we sort of think of Christmas and maybe New Year's as two holidays. Airlines have the equivalent of a three-week holiday where Santa is really good to them because they can charge twice as much. And that starts about in mid-December, around December 15th or 16th, and it goes all the way through the end of the first week in January. So if you're flying during that time frame, you're definitely going to pay more for your ticket. So the goal is to sort of get a better bad deal. If you don't already have your ticket already, it's a little bit late in the game, especially if you're trying to go to warm weather, because those were sold out at least a month ago.
Janet in Oak Creek, it's your turn. Hi, Janet.
Hi, good morning. Question for you. Well, actually, two, if you don't mind. First one is, in May, we are planning to go to Eastern Europe, going out of Chicago. Typically, we do Vienna Air. And Vienna Air, they do have a system that after you purchase your ticket, you can do a silent bidding, which you don't know if you win, and that is to bid to business class, which is really first class. And then you find out within 48 hours of the trip if you actually won the bid. So my question is, going to Eastern Europe in May, is there a price range that we should be looking at as far as the bidding? And then the second question is, real quick, is what about traveling that long of a trip with a small dog? If you are not flying business class, is there seats that they would put you in? And it's not an emotional support or medical dog, just for personal.
Sure. Let me tackle that in a couple ways. First of all, you said Austrian Air, right?
Vienna.
Yeah, Austrian Air, which goes into Vienna.
I'm sorry, yeah.
Okay, yeah. No, I think I would have made sure that there wasn't a new airline that I hadn't heard of yet. Yeah, so in that particular case, May is when prices jump a little bit. Sort of mid-May is when you see a little bit of jump in spring pricing before you hit summer pricing. That ticket, especially from a place like Chicago, and Austria is a little more expensive generally than the five other cheapest spots, which include Germany, Ireland, Spain, and a few other countries there. So it's a little more expensive. So that ticket would probably just generally be in the near $1,000 round trip if you were doing it in coach. As far as business class and first class, those tickets typically would range between, depending on if you found a sale or not for business class, between $4,000 and $7,000.
And our final destination is Macedonia. Well, actually Albania, but we're flying into Macedonia. I did bid once, and I think I put a price out there. It was either between $350 and $650, and I won the bid. My husband did not. So, but that's why I wanted to go into it with a little bit more information. But I did not.
Sure. If you're going to buy that on the open market, that's a great bid to get a business class seat to Europe. I mean, just generally, those tickets range. London can be a little bit cheaper, but those range in the $3,500 to $7,500 range, depending on the airline that you're going on. So the fact that you're upgrading for $650 to $700 is a really good deal. I do not recommend actually sitting in business or first and have your spouse sit in the back. It's not a good idea.
Yeah. There you go. Thank you so much for calling. Appreciate your call. Rick Cini, CEO and co-founder of FairCompare.com, our guest today. I'm Larry Mueller. Jason Butler, our on-air producer here on the Ideas Network. Taking a look at air travel today with Rick Cini, CEO and co-founder of FairCompare.com, Larry Mueller here. He'll be with us till 12:30 today, so looking forward to the next hour with him. You can join in. The lines are all filled. The number is 800-642-1234. Let's go to Arlene next in Burlington. Arlene, thank you for calling. What's on your mind?
Thank you. We traveled to Panama City, Panama, and we like to fly Copa because it's nonstop out of Chicago. I'd like to use the United website because they're partners, But if I go through United on the website, the fare is $5,000, where if I go through the Copa site, it's $1,400. But I'd like to use United because I have United miles. Why such a difference in price?
Yeah, so essentially United is code-sharing that Copa flight. And as a code-share partner, they have different sets of inventory. They don't always sync up necessarily with inventory. Now, they're both in the Star Alliance. So if you want to use your points, you'd have to use you'd have to be using a way to call in and actually try to use those points. You try them online. It's very hard to see those Copa flights, but you can actually do a little bit of research. They have some on Flyer Talk, which is a great place that talks about redeeming your points, and out of Chicago United on Copa as well. So there's a few tips and tricks for doing that. But you can still try to use your points. How many points do you have?
We will have, 75.
Yeah, so you probably will be able to use your points if you want to, but you may have to actually call somebody there at United to actually find it. Sometimes their online tool with their code share partners isn't as good as it might be, and they have access to a different system there at United. So definitely call and see if you can use your points for that.
There you go. Thank you so much for calling. Luke in Evansville, Indiana, your turn. Hi, Luke.
Good morning, Larry. Good morning, Rick.
Hey, good morning.
This is my first time flying internationally, and I believe I've checked all my boxes. But what are going to be the differences between domestic flights and international?
Oh well, a couple things. First of all, on the outbound flight, it depends on where you're going. I'm not sure if you're going north, south, east, or west, but you may or may – first of all, you're going to need your passport. Make sure it's up to date within 6 months. Some countries have issues with passports that have only 6 months left or less on their particular passport. Some countries also have visas, depending on where you're visiting. You need to make sure you have that done. And if you have to do it at the last minute, it can be very expensive if you forget to do it, for example. As far as the flying experience is concerned, you want to be to the airport a little bit earlier. Most people do check bags. I personally don't with my family. We do the carry-on bag thing because we like to move around when we're going to places like Europe. So give yourself a little extra time, depending on what time of year you're going. When you're coming back, that's where it gets a little more complicated. Airports coming back, especially if you have a connecting flight in Europe, for example, you might be on a smaller aircraft connecting to a hub airport. You probably will have to check your bag, even if you have a carry-on bag, because the planes, in many cases, don't have bins that are exactly the same size. And also, when you do check a bag, there's huge, long lines, because almost everybody coming back, especially if they're originating out of Europe, they come back. So you have to be there even a little bit more, especially early when you're coming back from Europe.
All right.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call. And let's go to Kristen in Madison next. Hi, Kristen. Thank you for calling.
Good morning. See, I am going to Kyoto in early February. And a friend of mine who's traveled there a lot says that maybe we could get something between $1,000 and $1,100.
Yeah, so definitely you're right at the perfect time, because the February time frame outside of President's Day weekend, which you want to avoid if you can, which is in mid-February.
Mm-hmm.
If you're outside of those times, you're basically getting winter rates, which is the absolute cheapest rates.
Okay.
For sure out of the West Coast, you'll be able to get around $1,000 or less.
Mm-hmm.
During that time frame, and you want to be shopping right now. Depending on which city you're flying out of,
I'd be going O'Hare.
Out of O'Hare, yeah. So out of Chicago, you're probably in pretty good shape as well. So you should definitely be able to find a flight in those. But I definitely would buy my ticket no later than about the second week in January.
Okay, and you said weekend fares.
Weekends are more expensive when you travel internationally,
So we would do the Tuesday through Thursday thing.
Exactly.
Okay.
That will save you an additional $60 to $80.
Okay. All right. And any particular airline I should stay away from or choose?
Well, you have so many different choices because there's lots of partners, and mostly you'll be connecting out of the West Coast generally. Out of Chicago, you might be able to get a nonstop to Japan and then connect into Kyoto. I don't think there's a nonstop. And if there, I can't remember if there is or not. If there is, it's going to usually be about 30 to 40% more expensive than the connecting flight. So you probably, if you have extra time, the connecting flight's going to be a bit cheaper generally. So.
Would we be flying into Osaka, most likely?
It could be Osaka. It could be Tokyo. Some people actually, you could be flying into, I've seen people actually connect through Seoul, for example, on cheaper flights on some of those airlines.
Oh,
a little
okay.
extra time there. So
okay.
It just depends. It just depends on which airline you pick. But a lot of the Asian airlines have some pretty good deals during that time frame.
Mm-hmm.
So, and all of them are really good. I've flown almost all of them. I think I'm up to 121 airlines I've flown in my lifetime, and I keep track of them all.
Okay.
So, and most of them are pretty good. The ones that you probably would like to pick are ones that make if they're in, like, if, for example, if you're in the Star Alliance or One World or SkyTeam, you might want to make sure you pick one of those so you get your miles so that later on you might get some free trips with your miles.
Okay. Yeah, that's a lot of miles.
Yeah, it is a lot.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks for
sure.
calling. Linda in Woodstock, Illinois, it is your turn. Hi, Linda.
Good morning. We are trying to decide when is the best time to buy the tickets on Allegiant Airline. We're going from Rockford, Illinois, a regional airport, to Mesa, Arizona, like the last 2 weeks of March. Prices seem to have dropped about $200 since a couple weeks ago, and I don't know if they're going to keep dropping or should I buy now.
What are they at now that you're seeing?
Well, for four people, it's $1,300.
Yeah, so Allegiant probably only has a couple flights a week. They specialize in flying from sort of out-of-the-way airports in certain locations, usually to places like Las Vegas or near, you know, destinations like Phoenix for golf. But they have expanded their route system pretty dramatically. And they're known also to sell tickets for $30 or $40 as well.
I know,
well.
And that's what, you know, you're hoping for, but I don't think it's going to happen.
Yeah, so I think you're at this point, if your tickets are in the, would you say, the $250 to $300 range for four people?
Yeah.
I think you're probably pretty safe to wait till about no later than sort of the second week in January and see if you get a little break on some of that price.
Okay.
Just generally, airlines tend to manage their cheapest seats about 2.5 to 3 months before departure.
Okay.
So right now, they're selling you seats by saying, hey, you know what, if you want to go ahead and buy them, I've got this price. But I'll start actively managing, you know, whether or not the flights are full or not on particular days. And that'll start happening over the next, well, probably in a 2 or 3 weeks, you'll see that. It'll be much more active and the prices will change, usually in your favor at the moment.
Okay, we'll keep watching for it.
All right. Thank you very much. Yeah, thanks for calling. You can join in, too. The number to call, 1-800-642-1234. Email us at ideas@wpr.org or post on our Facebook page. Ann in Milwaukee has a question for you, Rick. Let's go there. Hi, Ann.
Hi, Rick and Larry. Have you done any research on when is the best time to buy a plane seat upgrade, either domestically or internationally? It seems that the pricing varied a lot online and even and online at the airport website and when you got to the airport for the international flights that I was taking to and from China, for example.
Right. So every airline's slightly different. So when we talk about an upgrade, you sort of have two choices nowadays. Coach to premium economy, which is sort of like domestic first class. And then from premium economy to business, and then in theory, if you were in business, at least, well, probably 70 or 80% of the people have first-class cabin steel. You don't see that as often having a first-class cabin on some of the airlines into Europe. So upgrading into each one of those things is sort of it's a science and an art all sort of rolled into one in trying to get the best deal. If you were using, for example, your points or your miles, depending on which airline you are, you could buy an upgrade that way. Usually it's, you know, they have to have seats available, or they call it capacity controlled, so you're not guaranteed that you'll get it. And so each, you know, I, for example, a couple times it's worthwhile. For example, when I was going to Europe, I would stop in Washington, D.C. in Dulles, because you could get an upgrade into premium economy for $150 if you walked up to the British Airways Club, for example. There's a lot of these little hints and tricks on sites like Flyer Talk and MilePoint and a few of the other ones, so you might want to check those out. I haven't really researched it in the last 6 months to a year, but just generally, airlines have gotten more aggressive about sort of offering these things at the last minute on your phone, on the native app, through email. So if you're not using your points, it's a little more complicated because the upgrade is a cash transaction, and then you'll have to actually, in many cases, that requires a phone call because their website doesn't let you upgrade.
Well, it's interesting because I did upgrade on both flights, and I actually did both of them through the United website and didn't talk to anybody, and it worked well, but the prices were really different. And the reason why it was so good is that the regular coach section was pretty full, and upgrading into premium economy was pretty much empty, so I ended up having three seats to myself on the way over and back.
Yeah, no, that's always great. So if you have, it also depends if you have elite status on a particular airline. It's much easier to do those transactions if you have some sort of status on the airlines. If you're picking an airline that you don't have status on, it's a little more complicated as well.
Oh, okay.
All right. Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call. Let's go online here. Sheila wonders if you have some advice for a two-week trip to Scotland during 2018. Sometime between May and September for adults, no kids, where to go and where to fly into.
Well, the co-founder of my company is Scottish, and so I've been to Scotland probably 10 or 12 times. So I've sort of have that pegged out from a time frame perspective, May through September.
Yeah.
You know, and I'll have to admit there's only 1 week of summer in Scotland.
Yeah.
So, And it can range all the way from June to August. But generally, you'll see prices drop, for example, pretty dramatically at the end of August. It was a perfect time to go sort of the last week in August. The weather is still pretty good there as well. Also, a lot of people that are in Scotland take the month of August off, or at least the first few 3 or 4 weeks. So if you really want to get the local flavor, depending on whether you're going, probably going to Edinburgh or Glasgow. You might be even going out to the West Coast to Troon or something, or even up into the Highlands to visit one of my favorite golf courses in the world, Royal Dornoch.
No.
So, depending on where you're going, you can do that. As far as that's the cheapest time would be sort of at the tail end of August or at the early end or the earliest in May you can go. It can be a little bit of cool on both ends of those. If you're going in the summertime, that's going to be your most expensive. If you do connect in places like Philadelphia, Charlotte, New York, and go in that way and sort of bypass London Heathrow, you can save yourself about $50-$60. There's a luxury tax for flying into through London Heathrow and up into Scotland as well. So if you look at those particular connecting flights, it's still going to be at least a single connect, depending on what airport she's flying out of.
Let's take another caller. This one, Patrick in Amherst Junction. Hi, Patrick.
Hi there. Thanks for taking the call.
Sure.
We will be traveling to South Africa, flying into Johannesburg in late July and flying out of Cape Town August 5th or 6th. And I'm looking at flights either from O'Hare or Minneapolis. And O'Hare seems to be a lot cheaper, but we prefer Minneapolis. I just wondered if you had any suggestions about that and when we should start looking to buy that ticket.
Yeah, so just generally for that kind of ticket, you want to start about 5 months ahead of time. It's okay to be shopping and kicking the tires right now. You're probably, 6.5, 7 months out?
Yep.
So it's okay to go ahead and check those out. The difference really between O'Hare and Minneapolis is the fact that Minneapolis is really skewed towards Delta and its partners, KLM.
Right.
And Chicago, you have essentially American and its partners. You also have United and its partners. So that's why you see a little more competition. You see a little bit difference in price there.
Yeah, but right now I'm looking at, if I fly out of O'Hare, Emirates and Turkish Airlines are coming in right about $1,000.
And they're very aggressive with tickets right now compared to the legacy U.S. airlines. And Emirates is a great airline to fly. Flown it several times.
Okay.
Excellent airline.
Okay, because if we fly out of Minneapolis, we have Delta miles, so either Delta or KLM or something like that. But, you know, right now those are about $800 more than flying out of O'Hare when I'm looking at prices.
Yeah, Air France is in that group as well with SkyTeam. So usually that you have to pick one of those three if you're trying to use some of your points there. And typically you're going to be transiting through Atlanta in that case.
Right, right. And then what do you think a good ballpark price is going to be this summer, if you can offer an opinion?
If oil prices continue to stay where they are, I don't expect ticket prices to go up too much more. That ticket price ranges between $1,400 and $1,800 or $1,900. Generally, summertime, a little more expensive. It depends on when you're buying it. So that would be the range. If you get anything sort of in under $1,500, that's what you should be shooting for. Most people end up paying around $1,750 to $1,800 for a coach ticket.
Okay, because we're looking at $1,100 right now.
Ooh.
So. You should go ahead and, on Emirates, they're undercutting the marketplace quite a bit. I would go ahead and snap that up really quickly.
Okay, that's what I'd like to hear. Thanks a lot.
Yep. Yep, thanks a lot for calling. That's a good price. Richard in Milwaukee, your turn. Hi, Richard.
Hello. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I was interested in traveling from Milwaukee to Bratislava the third week of June and thought perhaps going through Chicago to Vienna or Prague or someplace would be cheaper, and was wondering what you thought my best options would be.
So, generally, you're going to pay an extra anywhere from $50 to $200 for the convenience of flying out of a local regional airport compared to flying out of a hub city like Chicago or Minneapolis. So that sort of starts there. As we just sort of noted with the previous caller, Minneapolis is really skewed towards, Delta, KLM, Air France, and then Chicago has a little bit more competition, also has a variety of the Middle Eastern airlines as well that fly out of there that can get you into certain places. Little less where you're going into Eastern Europe there, but there's a little more competition. Typically, you're going to find a better price flying out of Chicago than you will Minneapolis, depending on what time of year you're going. Again, you want to fly, if you can, midweek. Midweek pricing applies to any transatlantic flights. I guess in theory, you could go the other way around over the Pacific. Either way, you want to do midweek flights. And you want to start shopping about five and a half months ahead of time. You said, I think, June, so you're probably just slightly early, but it's not bad to be kicking the tires right now. It sounds like you also are looking for a multi-city ticket. Are you planning on going to multiple cities and staying over?
Right, but my basic destination is Bratislava, and that probably would be expensive to fly there because it's a smaller market, and I was thinking go to either Vienna or Prague because those were larger, more traveled routes.
And then you could take like a low-cost carrier or even a train, for example, depending on how far you wanted to go into there. There's lots of low-cost carriers that dot those particular ones. I'm not positive if there's one that flies into Bratislava or not, but there are a bunch of them that you can check out as well, which are that model. I definitely would look into that and flying. Get it sort of, it's going to be a little bit cheaper to fly into some place like Frankfurt than it is to fly into Austria, for example.
Okay.
All right. Good luck.
And then they'll have a lot more choices out of Frankfurt for low-cost carriers. Although they did lose Air Berlin recently, which is one of the big ones. You'll have to check that out as well. But there's plenty of little smaller low cost carriers similar to what in the U.S. would be like Spirit or Allegiant or Frontier, for example.
Okay, do you think Vienna would be a good possible destination, or would?
Yeah, it is. I think it is. It's just usually Vienna runs typically about 10 to 20% higher than landing in Frankfurt.
Okay.
All right. Thanks a lot for
coming. They're not too far apart, relatively. They're only about an hour and 15, 20 minutes by air apart.
Wow. There we go. Thanks, Richard. Appreciate your call. You can join in, too. 1-800-642-1234. Let's take another call. Mark in Waukesha. Your turn. Hi, Mark.
Hi. Yes, I'm planning to fly to Hamburg. We're real flexible on the time. I'm trying to hit it at the end of the winter season where the rates are. I'm not sure exactly where that is. And, there's multiple airports you can, go and, switch to and get a plane to Hamburg. Is there one airport better than another, from Heathrow to
Frankfurt is the central hub. It's going to be your cheapest. Some people can connect through Munich, for example, or you might even be able to go through some place like Amsterdam and connect to Hamburg as well. The best time to fly, in my opinion, and I've been, and my wife is half Austrian, so I've been to Germany and Austria quite a few times. I have family in Salzburg, would be the first week in September. Perfect time to go. The prices drop dramatically at the end of August. Everybody's back from vacation because almost entire Europe is on vacation the month of August, especially if you want to sample the local culture and not just the touristy stuff. So in my opinion, the best time is sort of either the last week in August, first week in September. You get a good price break, and you're going to get the best people, and the weather is still really good.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call. Rick Sini, CEO and co-founder of FairCompare.com. Our guest today, I'm Larry Mueller, here on the Ideas Network. Thanks for listening to the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here with my guest, Rick Sini, CEO and co-founder of FairCompare.com, taking a look at travel during this holiday season. I hope you'll call in with your own questions or comments. 800-642-1234. Email us at ideas@wpr.org or post on our Facebook page. And we had a listener ask about traveling with a mentally ill adult. She's very emotional and may say inappropriate things. Can I talk to the airline ahead of time? I'd like to know how to best make the travel easier for this person.
Yeah, no, I definitely would talk to the airlines. They do have special programs for those with special needs. It's on a case-by-case basis with the airline. So each of them have special support lines for that. Did she say where she was traveling to?
No, she did not.
Yeah, so essentially you have four airlines that control about 80% of the traffic in the United States: American, Delta, United, and Southwest. It's probably going to be one of those four airlines that she's going to want to be in contact with.
But they definitely are prepared to help in those situations.
Yeah, they're governed by some regulations related to that thing. They clearly have departments that have special needs issues and a variety of things. I'm just not as up on those particular ones. I know it's on a case-by-case basis, and each of the numbers, if you just type it into Google, you can find those particular people. But you're going to have to do some research ahead of time, I'm positive that they'll be able to get them where they need to go. It's just a matter of making sure that they have all the information they need well ahead of time.
All right. On to Clarice in La Crosse. Hi.
Hi there.
What can we do for you?
Well, hi, in Clarice. April, we are planning to travel to Hawaii. And we're from Wisconsin. And because of where we're located, we can either fly out of La Crosse or Regina Airport or out of Minneapolis or Chicago. But we're wondering, how soon do we need to buy our tickets for an April trip? And then my other question is, We're going into Honolulu first, and then we're going to the Big Island. How do we buy those tickets to go from island to island?
Sure. Well, a couple things. April time frame generally for domestic flights. I know it's sort of weird that Hawaii seems domestic because you're flying over an ocean for a lengthy time. Usually about 3 months before departure is when you want to start. You're a little early, but it's okay to kick the tires now. You never know when you'll, you know, 4 months out if you'll see something that's there. On the islands themselves, Hawaiian has got a virtual lock between inner island travel. There's also one other airline that also does some inner, but it's a much smaller airline that does inner island. Usually people actually just split their ticket purchases. It depends on whether or not they have a deal with Hawaiian as part of a codeshare where you can buy one ticket all the way through. Some of the U.S. carriers fly certainly to the Big Island, and you know, they have some flights that fly there directly from the West Coast, for example. So you would fly from the West Coast to the Big Island directly, connecting there. Otherwise, typically you take Hawaiian on your inner island trip.
Okay.
All right. Thank you very much for calling. Appreciate your call. I went one time in April and had a great time in Hawaii.
Yeah, one of the best places in the world. Yeah.
Oh, you aren't kidding. Oh, boy. Terry in Milwaukee. Let's go to you now. Hi, Terry.
Hi, Larry. How are you?
Great. Appreciate your call. What's on your mind?
Friends of mine and I are going to Vietnam in the early part of September.
Vietnam, did you say? I'm sorry. Did you say Vietnam?
Vietnam, yeah.
Okay. And in September?
September. Early, yeah, the first part of September. And a couple of questions. Looking at when's the best time to buy the tickets? And then when I've been doing some, like, Expedia searches, I see several airlines, you know, international airlines, and wondering if there's any concern about some of them, like Asiana Airlines. Qatar Airways before you get to, like, American Airlines.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure, sure. And I've been on both those airlines. They're, you know, they're, and I'd fly them in a heartbeat anytime. They're both of them very good airlines. I think you're pretty safe there with those particular carriers. To go in that time frame in September, you want to typically shop about five and a half months ahead of time. You're a little ahead of that game right now. You will be able to find tickets likely in coach into that area on one of the areas, and also a few of the Chinese carriers also fly into there as well, out of the west coast of the U.S. connecting usually. In that sort of, you know, $1,000 to, you know, $1,200 range. You might even be able to sneak one in sometimes, like in the case of Qatar, they sometimes will actually have much cheaper flights as well. Sort of
like
undercutting
they're showing
the
right now on, like, Asiana, we're flying out of Chicago, is $640.
If you can pay $640 for that trip, I'd buy, like, three of them right now.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Okay. That's really cheap.
That's extremely inexpensive, yeah. So that means the fuel surcharge is next to nothing. Generally, on those flights, fuel surcharge alone and taxes is $450 to $500. So you're talking about airfare at about $70 each way.
Okay.
There you go. Do it now.
I'm glad I called. Thank you.
All right. Thanks a lot for calling. Wow, that is really inexpensive.
Yeah, no, I've some of those tickets can be very inexpensive, especially if they're trying to undercut the market. It's really odd to see them that cheap so far out. I mean, actually almost 10 months out.
Yeah.
But that's why you should always be kicking the tires periodically and signing up for alerts, because they do happen from time to time. In that particular case, Asia has the price points to Asia have dropped over the last 4 or 5 months, and fuel prices have been pretty stable. So it's just generally flying long haul with a strong dollar is pretty good for Americans right now.
And how do they sign up for alerts with Fare Compare?
Yeah, so you just come to the farecompare.com, farecompare.com. You'll see a quote box there. If you put in the city you're willing to go to, there's a little checkbox that says watch it. You'll put your email address in, and then we start sending you alerts whenever prices change dramatically.
Keith in Green Bay up next. Hi, Keith.
Good morning. I plan to take a trip on my birthday, which is the second weekend of August.
Okay.
I'm retired, so I'm very flexible, and I travel solo. So I'm thinking this year of either going to Iceland, to Reykjavik, or to Peru. And I'm wondering which might be my better option to get the most bang for my dollar.
Well, Reykjavik has become extremely popular the last couple of years. You have Iceland Air flying in there. There's, I think, WOW is connecting in there as well. It's a little more expensive generally to fly into South America, just generally, so price-wise. And I think there's a little more cachet going on in Reykjavik at the moment. So, you know, if I was going to pick one of the two, on price and sort of, you know, where a lot of the if you want to see, you know, go to a place where there's a lot of interesting and new stuff that's been happening the last couple of years, I might pick one above the other. But so just generally, Chicago is going to be your best bet if you're flying into Peru. I believe they fly out of Minneapolis and Chicago into Reykjavik, some of the low-cost
areas. I can go out of both. I have friends in Chicago, and I have family in Minneapolis. I can leave my car with them.
Yeah, so you check out airlines like Iceland Air, WOW. I think also Norwegian may connect there as well. Those are all low-cost carriers that actually are selling tickets sometimes in the $300 to $400 range.
Wow. And
when's a good time to be looking to buy a ticket?
You can start looking now, but generally for those kind of flights, you want to start shopping in earnest for five and a half months ahead of time. And pretty much just generally across all ticket classes and categories, you want to buy your ticket outside of 30 days before departure. Once you're inside of 30 days before departure, airlines have over 10 years of digital history on our activities. They know exactly how to charge us for those particular days, and they're going to extract the most coin out of tourists and travelers. So better to do it outside of 30 days if you can. By the way, in the U.S., approximately two-thirds of all tickets sold are inside of 30 days, so you can see how many people procrastinate.
And you said between $300 and $400, you're probably in pretty good shape.
Oh, some of those low-cost carriers, that's the price. In fact, I just had my business partner, who actually connected through there, stayed there for 4 or 5 days on their way to Scotland using Iceland Air. And I think they were also on another airline probably 6 or 7 months before that. So I know some of those price points are really, really inexpensive.
All right.
I've heard that clearing the cache on your computer before you do your search is a good thing, so the airline computers know that you haven't done that search before.
Yeah, you know, if the airlines actually looked at your cookies and cleared and actually changed the price points for that, we'd have every senator running to a microphone and every whistleblower that's out there. There's an easier way to do that, too. If you have a browser, just go into private browsing mode. In that particular case, it always establishes a new session, so you don't even have to go fish out your cookies. You just have to just create a private browser, and you'll have the same. If you're worried that they're actually doing that, it's a way easier to do that. One click versus six clicks.
So go incognito.
Yeah. Exactly. Go incognito, and you'll get the same benefit of switching sessions.
All right.
Excellent. Thank you.
Thanks a lot for calling. And Jeff in Middleton, your turn. Hi, Jeff.
Hi there. I will be traveling. I hope to be traveling, two of us, from Madison to Buenos Aires in early April. And I wanted to get we've been there before. There's Madison, Atlanta, Atlanta, Buenos Aires is the Delta connection. But I'm wondering if you have any observations or advice. I also wanted to make a side comment that I learned from a native that Vienna and Bratislava are twin cities like Minneapolis and St. Paul. It's a 20-minute cab ride from the Vienna airport to Bratislava.
So it's not very far. Interesting. Okay, cool. What time of year were you
late
going?
Late March or early April?
Early April.
Yeah, let's take a quick look. I'm actually going to grab my keyboard here because I want to take a quick look here. So let me see. there. And how long are you going to stay?
Oh, a couple of weeks.
A couple of weeks. Let's pick 14 days just to make it easy. And, yeah, so, yeah, it looks like ticket prices in, wow, yeah. So the ticket prices are pretty high, up in the $1,700 to $1,900 range. There are some days that's out of Madison. If you can fly out of a bigger regional city, there's a lot more options at cheaper prices.
Really?
You're
well,
looking at,
you know, Chicago is doable.
Sure.
Let me take a look out of Chicago real quick during that same time frame. Yeah, so Chicago is running right now. Sort of the cheapest day is $1,000 round trip. That's a pretty good deal.
Yeah.
That particular airline is a combination of using Norwegian Airlines, UK, and Norwegian. Other airlines like Copa and American, Air Canada, all in the $1,300 to $1,500 range. So this is a kind of a special deal where you're taking actually, this one goes actually into Europe. So I probably would bypass that one. Yeah, so you're looking at $1,400 approximately.
About $1,400. That's not bad. Well, good
it's
luck.
It's not terrible for that time of year, yeah. So COVID
out of Chicago
is your best bet out of Chicago.
Thanks again, Jeff, and good luck with that. Rick Sini, our guest today, he'll be with us till 12:30 today. He is CEO and co-founder of FairCompare.com. We'll take a quick look at the news, weather, and then we'll be back with Rick. You stay with us. Thanks for joining us today on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here taking a look at air travel today with Rick Sini, CEO and co-founder of FairCompare.com. He comes by every month to talk about travel, especially air travel. Our lines are all filled right now, but here's the number. It's 1-800-642-1234. You can also email us at ideas@wpr.org or post on our Facebook page. And Rick, we'll turn to Madison next and talk with Scott. Scott, thank you for calling. What's on your mind?
Hi, I'll be flying to Rome around June 8th or 9th and then spending a couple days and exploring between there to Barcelona and flying back around June 22nd to June 23rd, flying out of Indianapolis or Chicago or Madison or Milwaukee. When should I shop for tickets and what price should I expect?
Yeah, so unfortunately, well, a couple things. June is right in the middle of high season for ticket prices. So you have a little bit of price break up until sort of mid-May, and then the prices go up and they start to rise even again sort of in early June. Crescendo is typically right around mid to late July. Then at the end of August, they tend to slide down. So you're sort of right at the top of the curve there. Second of all, the three most expensive places to fly into generally are London, Paris, and Rome. So flying into Rome can be a little more expensive. They're probably the 12th to 15th cheapest compared to some other places, but that doesn't mean they're overly expensive. You definitely want to do that. So you want to start shopping for your ticket probably late January, early February time frame. Historically, for a coach ticket into Rome, you would probably play somewhere between a summertime ticket, somewhere between $1,200 and $1,450. The prices have dropped a bit. So, you know, you might be able to sneak in just over $1,000. I don't know, if you're shopping right now, what kind of rates are you looking at?
I haven't really started shopping right now. For one way, I see from some online airfare alert sites, and I haven't even checked to see which days of the week or what the qualifications are, anywhere between $500 and $800, but those are...
Yeah, those are typically winter rates. Yeah, so that's not unusual. So you'd be looking somewhere around, the $1,200 range. I think if you shopped right now, you could find, for example, June time frame. If you actually went on a Tuesday or a Monday instead of the weekend when it's cheaper, I'm looking at, for example, a 14-day trip here. American Airlines is at $994, El Italia at $994. You can actually take Aer Lingus and connect with British Airways for $880 right now. Those are decent deals. The nonstop deals right at $1,000 are pretty good deals, especially if you're flying out of Chicago, for example. So those aren't terrible, and I would expect the price to be right there at that between $1,000 and $1,200 over the next. But I'd buy my ticket no later than you said you were leaving in June, right?
Yeah,
I would buy my ticket sort of no later than sort of mid to late March. But I'd be shopping pretty heavily here in the next month or so.
Okay, and then that's returning from Barcelona, so we're going to probably drive or train.
Yeah, so half round trips typically in Barcelona. Well, depending on where you are in Barcelona, you probably end up connecting into Madrid in order to get actually back to the U.S., or there are a handful of flights from the East Coast that would connect with Barcelona. But just generally, that price point is a little bit lower than going into Rome. So you're going to end up with the same sort of ticket in that $1,050 to $1,100 range.
Okay, so each way, so probably pushing $2,500 total.
Oh no, that's round trip. Yeah, okay. So you should be shooting for $1,100, $1,200 round trip.
All right, and are there any surrounding airports not too far away from Barcelona or Rome that would reduce the price?
Not necessarily. No. Well, I mean, you know, the airport in Spain that's the cheapest is Madrid. Barcelona, there's not that many flights that come from the U.S. directly into Barcelona. There's this low-cost airline in Spain called Vueling that I've taken a few times between Madrid and Barcelona that is, I think the ticket I bought one time was 40 euros to get between them. So depending on, you know, which of them is a little bit cheaper, I might take Vueling to Madrid and see if I can get that return trip on my multi-city trip, for example, and just pay that small low-cost carrier fee.
Okay. Do you know visas are required for Europe at this point?
You won't. No, not for Italy and not for Spain. You don't need a visa.
All right. There we go. Thank you very much for calling. Lori in Wisconsin Rapids, what's on your mind?
Hi. We are going to be flying from Chicago to Bologna, Italy, in May. And the cheapest airfare that has decent times is SAS. And I was just wondering if Rick has any comments about that airline.
Yeah, no, I've flown them several times. Really good airline. Not my particular cup of tea when it comes to food, but I don't like to eat on aircraft that much. So, you know, I'd bring some beef jerky with me.
I know.
But generally, it's a good airline.
Okay, because I was reading some reviews, and that's kind of what I came up with is about the food. And for the previous caller, we have flown to Barcelona, and we have found Aer Lingus to be really, really good as far as the airfare. So that's another one. And they do fly into Rome as well, like you were saying, so I wouldn't be hesitant.
Sure, yeah, no, Aer Lingus is usually about $100 to $200 cheaper.
Yeah. Okay, well, good news about SAS, then. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank
you. Sure, yeah, and they'll have to end up connecting in Dublin, which is a little bit of a hassle. That's the only reason I didn't mention it.
You can call in at 1-800-642-1234. Give a call. Jim in St. Croix Falls, it's your turn. Hi, Jim.
Hi. I have a couple of questions about using Fare Compare.
Sure.
Number one, do you include those smaller airlines like Air Emirates and the one you just spoke about in the compares? And number
two,
go ahead.
We don't have airlines like Southwest. They don't participate broadly, for example, domestically. In some cases, at various times we have and haven't had Delta, depending on their mood in any particular month. But we do include probably somewhere close to, I think, around 250 low-cost carriers and regular legacy carriers. So we do have most content. There are some places that we have some issues with, so just be aware of that.
Okay, the other thing is I've been doing your alerts for a long time, and I don't know when to check my email. It seems like they're always, all the good deals are always gone when I click on it.
Well, generally the alerts that come in, we send out a lot of alerts. I think we send somewhere close to 25 million a year. A month. Essentially, if the alerts come in, depending on what the route is, and it's an extremely cheap flight, inventory is capacity controlled. But essentially, we're taking in every alert is the response from somebody else's shopping request. So at the time that we actually generated the alert, somebody actually had that price in their shopping results in their browser. We take in somewhere close to 300 million shopping results each day. So they're usually pretty fresh. We are working on software to make sure you know how many particular flights have that when we send out the alert. So that's something that's going to be rolling out here in the next couple months.
There we go.
Is there a time? Is there a specific time that I should be looking and instead of waiting until mid-morning?
Well, the alerts actually happen in real time as prices change within the market. And essentially the way airlines work, they have what's called an inventory control and yield management system. And so prices could, in theory, change on every request that a user makes. And at certain times of day, they file airfares at different times, which also could affect the price as well. So on any particular route, which generally you'll find sale fares tend to, especially domestic ones, tend to be filed very late in the evening on Monday. So you'll see them show up, at 8 p.m., for example, Monday evening, or at 10 a.m. on Tuesday morning. All the other airlines see them at the same time, typically at 10 a.m. on Tuesday morning. They all start to match. So you have sort of the maximum number of cheap sale fare seats a little bit after lunch on Tuesdays. Typically, those sales tend to last about 3 days. So Tuesday to Thursday is the perfect shopping window.
There we go. Thank you so much for calling. Appreciate your call, Jim. Chris and McFarland, your turn. Hi, Chris.
Hi. Hi, Larry. Hi, Rick. I'm wondering, Rick, what the best time to book a flight for Bozeman, Montana is. We're planning on leaving February 24th or 25th. I'm finding that the flights seem to be high right now.
Yeah, so you're right in the three-month window. You said you're going in February, did you?
Yeah,
end of February.
End of February. So usually what ends up happening, especially on when you're going from to regional airports, there's just not a huge amount of competition to a place like Bozeman, for example.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
What airport are you flying out of?
We'd like to fly out of Madison.
Madison. Yeah, so you have regional to regional. Usually there's an extra charge for that. And let me check real quick. You said February. February, I would expect prices to be a little bit cheaper. I'm surprised, actually.
If they're really high, we'll often drive from Madison to Milwaukee and fly out of Milwaukee, and that sometimes makes quite a difference.
Yeah, I'm looking at I'm trying to pick one of the airlines that happened to be there. Yeah, so essentially you're looking at legacy carriers, right, that are flying into there?
Yeah.
Yes.
Whether it's United, Delta, or American, the price sort of ranging in the high threes all the way up to $500 round trip,
right,
depending on which day you leave.
Well, yeah, I would love high threes. I'm getting high fives, and actually at one point they went up to 1,000.
How many days are you staying?
8 days.
8 days. Let me take a quick look here. February. And do you care which day in February you leave?
Well, we'd like to leave the 24th, and I'm not sure what day of the week that is.
Yeah,
we'd like
I'm
to
looking
leave the
at it here.
24th.
Yeah, 25th. So there's a big spike that week. So there's a big spike in price. Let's see, right there. Yeah. So if you left, for example, on the 20th of February, the prices are in sort of the higher $300 range. There's a spike during those days, and the spike calms down about on February the 27th, where, again, it's back in the high 300. So you have a spike up to sort of 500 during that week of the 23rd. And then it drops back down essentially on the weekend for an 8-day stay.
Okay. All right. All right.
So if you leave on a Tuesday, it's typically about 10 to 15% cheaper.
And if you left a week earlier?
Yes.
Yeah, so if you left a week earlier, the perfect day would be like February the 20th. That's also a Tuesday. The other one is Tuesday, February the 13th. Those are the only ones where you're going to see in the high 300s. Everything else is in the mid 400s and closer to 500.
Yes, okay. All right, thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks very much for calling. Paul on Facebook, talking about timing here, does the guideline for purchasing domestic flights within 3 months of travel go out the window when it comes to spring break? The price of travel has been outrageously high.
Yeah, it does. There's a couple exceptions to the rule. One of them is holiday seasons, like we're just coming up on with the Christmas and New Year's 3 weeks of Christmas for airlines. It also, you could be rest assured that the airlines know every spring break and every school district that's close to an airport. And essentially what they do for spring breaks is they raise the prices pretty dramatically because almost 70 to 80% of people go Saturday to Saturday or Saturday to Sunday. And so if you take, for example, a Tuesday to Saturday trip, it's typically 40% off.
Oh.
So if you cut your instead of taking a 7-day trip, you take a 5-day trip, for example, you can save yourself at least 30 to 40%. But they do, to popular destinations, automatically raise the rates based on each individual school district spring break.
Oh. Larry and Baraboo, it's your turn. Hi, Larry.
Good afternoon, Rick and Larry. Wonderful show, and thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I did everything you said. I bought tickets, round trip to Thailand back in August, leaving January, and got a cheap price, $680 round trip.
Wow,
I also paid. Yeah, I also paid $120 so I could pick our seats out because of the long flight to Korea, 13 hours. It's a great concern. And the next day,
picking
I got a
up bulkhead seat out. Yeah. Oh, you did.
I got a refund, and they said that they were not allowed to pre-book seats on Korean Air anymore. So now I've called Korean Air, and because I bought discount tickets, I cannot pick our seats until 24 hours before the flight. So that's rather disappointing. And I just wondered if all the airlines are going to this practice now.
Different ones have different seating selection. I'm surprised because usually picking up an extra $120 in revenue is something that they're looking to do. I'm surprised they're making you wait until the 24 hours. I'll have to actually call a few people and find out what's going on there. But generally, those extra add-on revenue, whether it's, you know, cutting in line at the airport or, you know, booking a window or aisle seat or booking a bulkhead seat, those they tend to – you know, make revenue, especially on international ones, around that $100 to $200 range for people picking ahead of time. British Airways, for example, went to this model several years ago. So other ones, especially the bigger flag carriers, are starting to copy it.
Mm. Right. When I called Korean Air just this last week, I offered to pay again. You know, I mean, please let me buy these seats ahead of time. And they refused to do it. They said that's our policy. Now we have to wait until 24 hours or do it at check-in 3 hours.
It won't be very crowded. I doubt that flight will be super crowded. But what I would do is write out the 23-hour, 59-minute, and 59-second time frame. I'd hop on there and pick my seat.
Yeah.
I will. Thank you.
And once you have those seats, I would also check ahead of time. I would download their app for that. Sometimes they'll actually let you change seats within the app for an extra price, for example, that they won't do, for example, on their website. So be sure and download their native app, and you'll also have a chance there. And when you get to the airport, if you do that, not only get your boarding pass at the kiosk, they may offer you some seat changes there as well. So you still have a chance to get some bulkhead seats.
There we go. Good luck. Thank you so much for calling. And Ralph in Minocqua, your turn. Hi, Ralph.
Hi. I'm planning on meeting some friends in Honolulu on Sunday, March 11th, and Delta has one nonstop out of the Twin Cities each day, and I've been checking that for 2 months, and it's been $1,200 every single time. Is there any chance that it will go down? A lot of the connecting flights have long connections in California someplace.
Yeah, so you're right in the middle of spring break season right there.
Yeah.
and let me take a look and see if there's a day where it actually could be a slightly cheaper.
I'm incidentally back 12 days later on the 23rd, or at least that's the scheduled time.
Yes, I'm looking at the nonstop flights. Let's see, what's that one? That's Delta. Yeah, so there is. How long are you going to stay?
For 12 days.
12 days. Let me take a quick look. Yeah, so for 12 days, and you're looking at, you said early March, right?
Right, March 11th.
March 11th. Yeah, so March 11th. $1,200. The nonstop on March the 7th is $1,000. You picked the most, actually, the most expensive day. Actually, the day before it's $1,400. So so essentially, unless you go 3 or 4 days earlier and sort of stay out of spring break range, it's going to be right there.
It's not going to change in the next few weeks or months.
No.
Those particular flights, especially with the Caribbean still having a little bit of jitters for people, those flights have been selling out pretty dramatically. So I wouldn't expect the price to change much for that nonstop.
I guess I have to look at some of the connecting flights also. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks for calling.
Yeah, connecting flights are about $500 cheaper.
Listener email, we're rebooking a canceled trip. Any tips on the cheapest place to go, preferably in Central South America that's warm, one sister's requirement, and has adventures to do things other than sit on the beach all day, another sister's requirement. You don't want to sit on the beach all day.
Yeah, so you want to generally the pricing is by distance when you're going into South America, going into Brazil or some of the southern countries. There is typically $200 to $300 more expensive than going into some of the northern ones, including Peru and some other places. It sounds like they're fighting over whether or not they want beach or not, right?
Yeah, they don't want beach all the time. They want to be able to do some things.
Yeah, so if they wanted to kind of split something up, it's kind of cool. You could go to a place like Aruba, which is just off the northern coast, spend a few days there, and then hop over into the northern part of South America. So that way you get the best of both worlds, beach for a few days, and then hop down to the northern part, one of the northern countries there.
Ooh, that sounds good to me.
Yeah, Aruba is really – people don't realize how close Aruba is actually to the northern coast of South America.
And, Rick, I just once more, go back through faircompare.com and tell people how to get involved and so forth.
Sure, yeah. It's faircompare, F-A-R-E, compare.com. Essentially, we're a MediCert site. We don't charge anybody anything, a completely free site. We also process tons and tons of airfare. We're a bunch of technology geeks. Been doing this for over a decade now. So we have a pretty good idea of when things are going to change. Do a lot of blogging. I have columns on ABC News and USA Today as well, if you want to catch me there as well. Come to the site. We specialize in doing alerting. If you just type in your city pairs and then click the checkbox, and we'll send you an email as well.
Well, Rick, it's always a pleasure to have you with us. Thanks so much. Are you going anywhere for the holiday?
My wife and daughter just got back from, my daughter was in the Macy's Thanksgiving parade, so that was an awesome little trip.
Oh, wonderful.
And we're also sort of negotiating a last-minute trip to maybe a Katy Perry concert in Miami on December 20th.
There you go. Sounds like fun. Thank you so much.
I'm trying to slide that one in. Take care.
Thank you, Rick. Rick Seedy is CEO of faircompare.com. He's co-founder of it as well. And he comes by once a month to talk with us about air travel. And he will be back in almost exactly a month, I think. We'll do this all over again. Boy, it's always fun talking with him. Always fun to have you listening and you calling in with your calls. Thank you for listening. Please stay with us. Lots in store.